I'm going to be sharing a portion of the passage of scripture that was just read, and I'm going to start by just reading verse 2 with you again before we pray for the preaching of the word. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about." Let's pray. Father, I ask you in your mercy to enable me to communicate the wonderful truth that's found in these words. Help us, Lord, to hear the gospel sounding from the Old Testament clearly this morning. May we remember the old story, and may it burn in our hearts afresh. We pray especially, Lord, for the parents and the family that have dedicated Johnny. And we pray, Lord, you will speak to them especially this morning, but to all of us. We trust you now for your word not to return void. Amen. Now this, as you obviously know, is a very special service. This is a dedication service. But when I say that, I realize that I have to make that statement clear, because nowadays so few people seem to understand what an evangelical dedication service actually is. I need to make this clear with respect. This is not a christening. This is not a baptism. We are convinced in this church that the ordinance of baptism should only be given to those who repent and believe in the gospel. We read in the Bible consistently that it is believers who must be baptized and not the children of believers. But hold on, you may say, didn't Jesus tell us, "Let the little children come unto me"? Well, of course he did say that, and we do in this church bring our children to Christ. But we do not christen them. We do not baptize them. We as evangelical Christians dedicate our children to the Lord. We dedicate them. But what does that actually mean? What are we doing when we dedicate our children as evangelicals to God? Well, today I hope to answer that question for you. And what I'm going to say this morning, I hope, will just give you a bit of a jolt of a shock and just wake you up to the wonder of the gospel afresh. Let's go to our text, a very famous passage. Here we read of a very controversial, even shocking passage of scripture. Unless, of course, you're so gospel-hardened that this just bounced off you, it should come as a shock no matter how many times you've heard it. Verse 2. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burned offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about." Does that shock you? God wants Abraham, in blunt language, to take his beloved son and kill him on the mountain. Now, why on earth did God say this? I believe when this was written by the Spirit, it's intended for us to be shocked by this. God said, "Kill your beloved son." I saw a speech on YouTube, and I challenge you, please check me out. This is true. Check this out on YouTube. Barack Obama, the previous president of the United States, was saying in a speech that he does not take the Bible literally. And he's used this particular passage in his speech to make his point. He basically said something like this. Look, in the book of Genesis, it said that God told Abraham to sacrifice his son. Now, how am I supposed to take that? Surely I can't take that literally. Would God tell a man to kill his child? And he used that argument to say we can't take the Bible literally. Check it out. It's on YouTube. Now, let's face it. This is a shocking passage. I mean, all you have to do is go to the British Museum and you'll learn about the terrible deeds of the Canaanites who used to sacrifice their own children to the idol Molech. Child sacrifice, and it was a terrible, evil thing. And yet God here is telling Abraham in clear, unmistakable language to kill his son on Mount Moriah. Are you all with me? Now, if you're a loving parent this morning, if you love your children, you may be thinking in the back of your mind, what a terrible thing for God to have said to Abraham. Wasn't Abraham his friend? What sort of a God would tell somebody to take his only beloved son and kill him? In fact, what sort of a father was Abraham to agree to do it? Maybe you're thinking Barack Obama was right. How can we take this passage literally? It's an outrageous passage. Well, if you're an evangelical Christian this morning, and I need to explain my terms because I know many people don't know these terms, an evangelical is someone that's committed to the words of the Bible as direct truth from God. Taking away the filters of traditions and philosophical interpretation, we take the Bible as it stands as the Word of God. Now, if you're an evangelical, you're committed to the truth of this passage. Remember, you believe, evangelical, that all scripture is God-breathed, inspired. And what we read here is as holy and as true as John 3:16 or Romans 8:28. What we read today is as historical and as binding upon us as the narratives on the cross or the narratives of the resurrection. We as evangelicals are obliged here to believe that God did say what he said to Abraham. And we're expected to take this passage, believe it, and apply it to our own lives. Okay, so God tells Abraham to take his son to a certain region, Moriah, and sacrifice his son there. Now, I want to use this passage this morning to help you understand what the dedication of a child means to an evangelical Christian. And I'm going to focus on the parents here. I want to say this to you, and hopefully it will just give you a little jolt, wake you up. You have committed yourselves, in making your promises just now at the front of the church, to doing for your son what Abraham did to his. You see, what Abraham was commanded to do in our reading is what Christian dedication of children is all about. Now you may say, what? How can that be? Well, this is what I want to share with you this morning. But I think before I start, I need to make a disclaimer. Please realize, I'm not standing up here this morning, as welcome as you are, to entertain you. I stand up here in God's name to speak the gospel truth, as I with a clear conscience believe I am doing. I've been in many church christenings, many church dedication services, where the meetings have been light, frivolous, cute, entertaining, but devoid of biblical doctrinal content. And as Jonathan's grandfather, I believe I have a special right this morning to tell you the truth when it comes to a child's dedication. So let's look at our reading in the light of the dedication service this morning. Keep your eyes on the passage. Firstly, we read here that God tells Abraham that his beloved son is to die, and not only die, but be killed and offered as a burnt offering. The Hebrew word here for burnt offering is holocaust. He is to be killed and after death cast upon a fire. Shocking? Well, do you realize, and I speak to all you parents now, do you realize that God in the Bible says the same thing about all your children? Think about this. Is your child, parent, a son, a daughter of Adam? Yes. Did your child inherit, when born, Adam's curse of original sin? Yes. Is it not destined for your child to die once and after death face the judgment? Well, that's what the scriptures tell us very, very clearly. You are a Christian, and I'm speaking to Christians, therefore you know that your child was born into a race condemned, facing death and the holocaust of judgment that follows. Would you agree? Now, please hear me out. Don't just switch off and think I'm doing fire and brimstone, because it gets very positive towards the end. Okay, bear with me. Secondly, notice in the text, God tells Abraham to take his son to a certain place, the region of Moriah. Abraham is to take Isaac to the hill country of Moriah. Now, Moriah is known for certain by scholars to be the high country in and around Jerusalem. It's on one of the hills of Moriah where the Temple of Solomon was built. It's on one of the hills of Moriah where Christ was crucified on the cross 2,000 years ago. Moriah is the place where God expects sacrifice. Now Abraham is told he must take his son to this place, Moriah. Joshua and Danielle, God would have you take your son to this very same place. You may say, how? How can that be possible? Well, obviously, here I'm speaking typologically. You must take your son as he grows into adulthood through your Bible studies with him, your prayers with him, in bringing him to church and putting him under Christian education. Johnny must get to know this particular place. He must get to know Moriah. And you, his parents, are called, as Abraham was, to take your son to this place of sacrifice. Thirdly, notice that Abraham has to actually sacrifice his son there. He's actually told he must tie his son up. He must bound him in ropes. He must hold the knife to him, threatening him with imminent death. This is the shocking part. And you may be saying, what sort of a father was Abraham to even think this? How could he do it? Well, parents, if you love your child in a typological way, then this is what God expects from you. You may say, what? How can that be? Your son needs to come to a time in his life as he gets older when he feels the bondage of Moses' law. There must come a time in his life as he grows to maturity where the law of Moses binds him. And you know what? He faces the imminent death of God's curse for the sin of Adam. He must know not only the bondage of the law bound up, he must also know facing the death that comes from the curse, and he must know the Holocaust that follows. He must be convicted in this region of Moriah that you must take him to, of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And this is what you as parents have pledged yourself to do. But why? You may say, why? Why do I have to do this? Now I'm speaking as an evangelical. Pardon me if you're not evangelical, but this I believe with all my heart. Because this is the only place on earth where he will meet the Christ and be saved in faith. This is God's place of rendezvous. This is where people become born again by faith. Let me tell you why. Because the gospel, the true gospel, is about sacrifice. The gospel is about sacrifice and substitution. The gospel can only truly be understood by people who stood on the hill of Moriah, felt the bondage of Moses' law, and felt, wretched man that I am, who will rescue me? Felt the threat of imminent death for the curse of sin. Realized the judgment that follows, the Holocaust. And then found, hallelujah, the substitute in the very place where the sacrifice was to be faced. You've got to take your son to the same place that Abraham took his son. Your son will never know the glory of the gospel in a true biblical way, unless you take him to the place of sacrifice. You see, this place, Moriah, has another name. Now go with me to verse 14. I've got it projected up there. Listen to this. So Abraham called the place, Moriah, the place where the Lord will provide. To this day it is said, now listen to this. To this day it is said, on the mountain of the Lord it will be provided. Oh, this is so important, especially in this day of confused Christian messages. Where will it, the salvation of Christ, be provided? On the mountain of Moriah, the place where you have dedicated to take your son. This place is the place Abraham took his son. What is to be provided? Substitution. Substitution. Look at verse 13. Abraham looked, and there in the thicket he saw a ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. On Mount Moriah, God provided a sacrifice for all time when 2,000 years ago on Calvary, the Son of God, the incarnate man, was crucified. The Lamb, not the Ram, the Lamb of God was crucified as a substitute for repentant sinners. On Mount Moriah, God has provided amazing hope for the human race. And the challenge I want to leave with you today is this. You have got to get your son to this place. In your love, in your patience, in your teaching, you've got to make him know he's bound by the law of Moses, because by the law is the knowledge of sin. You've got to make him feel the condemnation for his sin, the imminent death that follows God's wrath. You've got to let him know judgment, sin, righteousness, and judgment. He needs to be brought to a true conviction. It's only there that God will ever be met. And as I said, you've made a pledge to do your best to get him there. You've got to take him to the place Abraham took Isaac. No, God was not cruel when he told Abraham to take his son to Moriah to face sacrifice. Because by doing this, God was showing Abraham the only way anyone in this world can be saved. You can only know the gospel, truly know the biblical gospel, by standing on Mount Moriah, convicted of sin, righteousness, and judgment. You know why? Because on that mountain, and only on that mountain, is it provided, the substitution. So Barack Obama, I'm sorry to say, was wrong. I don't believe that God made a mistake, or we can't take this passage literally because it's too stark and too cruel to be taken literally. If we don't take this passage literally, my goodness, we've got no gospel to preach. What is the cross? That he who knew no sin was made sin for us so that we should be the righteousness of God. And you have pledged like Abraham, to take your son to this place. Because on Mount Moriah, and only on Mount Moriah, I speak to unconverted people, you'll never understand what these crazy Christians believe unless you're standing in the position of a condemned sinner. Because it's on that mountain where it will be provided. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we do thank you, Lord, for Jonathan and the wonderful joy he is, Lord. And we thank you for all our children. We thank you for the generation that's growing up now into a crazy, dark, confusing world. And we pray, Lord, may this gospel, as offensive as it is to the pride of man, as stumbling block it may be, but may this be our endeavor to bring our loved ones to Moriah, because Moriah is the place where it is provided. And we give you all the praise. Lord, I thank you. I never had parents that took me to this place. By your grace, I came there. But I thank you that Johnny has parents, grandparents, loved ones that will enable him to find this place. And we commit him to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Curse of death, we'd like to invite you to stay for lunch with us if you can. You won't regret it. It's always nice. If you can make it, please stay. We're just going to close in prayer. Father, we thank you. Oh God, we thank you for Christ. Please remind us where he's to be found. Oh Father, help us to bring people to Moriah, because it's only there. It's only there where it will be met, this dreadful need that we have. And now we pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit will be with all of us gathered in Jesus' name. Amen.